Pure Dog Talk is the podcast on purebred dogs. We talk to the legends in the sport and give you tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves. Today is Mentor Monday, and we have one quick reminder from your Dog Show Superintendents Association. Get your entries in early. It's a win-win. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves, and I am joined today by a pretty special guest. John Miller is the president of programming for NBC Sports and NBC Sports Network. And John is the brainstorm behind the National Dog Show and also the Dog Show at Beverly Hills. So I really am very grateful, John, for you joining us. Thank you very much for your time today.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it, Laura, and I'm happy to be with you.
Excellent. So this is the Monday before Thanksgiving today that we're talking to our audience. And what are our listeners going to be looking for on NBC Sports?
Well, obviously on Thanksgiving Day, we have been happy to create what has become a fun tradition, and that's the National Dog Show presented by Purina. This, I believe, is going to be its 16th year. It's amazing how fast and how big it's grown, and something that a lot of people work very hard on, starting with the Kennel Club of Philadelphia, our folks at Carson Productions, as well as the folks here at NBC, and also the folks at Purina. So we all kind of put our heads together and work very hard to bring a great event to the American people on Thanksgiving Day, which is my favorite holiday. And what it really does is it celebrates purebred dogs, and it celebrates all that dogdom world gets to do and celebrate, and we're very proud of it. And it does obviously very strong ratings, and it continues to deliver for us.
Absolutely. And you guys, I just mad props to NBC for continuing to support the purebred dog community and our events. That's wanted to make sure you guys get credit. That's a heck of a team you've put together.
Thank you. Well, it definitely is a team led by our producer, Lena Glazer, and Gary Quinn, who manages the property on the NBC side, and his team, and Wayne Ferguson down at the Kennel Club of Philadelphia. We could not be happier with our team.
Absolutely. So as a TV guy, I mean, this is kind of your gig. What makes the National Dog Show such a hit? I mean, you've got a pretty major captive audience there. What makes them want to watch a dog show?
I think that's right. I think that we have found over time that people care about a lot of things passionately. They care about their families, obviously. They care about their cars. They care about their own hobbies. But they really love and care about their dogs. Their dogs are part of their family. And I would argue that a lot of people think they're some of the most important parts of their family.
Yes.
We had the opportunity when we started our conversations, you know, with the Kennel Club of Philadelphia and with the folks at Purina to do this and to bring this show to life. We had a great window that we were able to convince NBC to give us a chance to exploit, and that is the window directly following the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which is the single largest viewing day for a parade at that time in the entire year. It's about anywhere from a 12 to a 15 rating, which means that you got millions and millions of people who are watching that parade. And one of the things that the dog show does is it allows people to watch this with three generations, grandparents, parents, and children, all get to sit together to enjoy the parade and then the dog show, and then they go right into their Thanksgiving dinner while they're watching football. It's really become a part of that day's celebration.
Absolutely. Part of the culture, which I think is really amazing. Realistically, 16 years is not that long, but it is definitely part of what you do on Thanksgiving.
I'll tell you what's kind of funny. So every once in a while, I get to go out and speak at a school, either a high school or a college, university, the people who are interested in the television business. And I'll mention the National Dog Show, and people say, oh, I watched that. My parents watched that when they were kids, and it's been in our family for 20, 30 years, and I don't want to disabuse them of that fact, but I think it's pretty funny. John O'Hurley, who along with David Fry and Mary Carrillo are our talent at the event,
yes,
was on television last week and had some very nice things to say about the show. I'm a huge John O'Hurley fan, obviously, but he said it was one of the most perfect pieces of television programming he had ever seen, which was a very nice compliment for him to pay us.
Absolutely. And you are the man behind the genius, which I have to say it is genius. And I heard this story from I think your PR guy, Steve Griffith, and he told me this story. So I want you to share with our listeners the story about how you came up with this absolute genius brainstorm.
Well, I'll tell you the story. And I would love to tell you that it was from a moment of inspiration, but it was probably somewhat alcohol induced.
Good man.
It was in a cold kind of winter night in January of 2002. My wife had been at Blockbuster and had brought home a couple different movies for us to watch with friends that night. One of the movies that she brought home was Best in Show, featuring Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara and all the great SCTV stars. And so we watched it. There were about six or eight of us all watching this movie at our house, and we really enjoyed it. We were able to enjoy it while we finished off a bottle of wine, and a lot of people went home, and then a couple people decided to stay, and we figured, let's watch it again. It was so funny. And so we did, and really enjoyed it and got such a kick out of it. And I came in on Monday morning to my office at NBC, and I pulled in one of the young men who was interning for me at the time. And I said, do me a favor, find out for me what the second oldest dog show in America is. Because we had all assumed, incorrectly I might add, we had all assumed that the Westminster Kennel Club was the oldest show in America. And he came in an hour later and he said, well, the second oldest dog show is the Westminster Kennel Club. The oldest dog show is the Kennel Club of Philadelphia. And they predate the Westminster Kennel Club by 5 years. So I said, wow, I didn't know that. Are they still around? And he said, well, there's a phone number here of a gentleman named Wayne Ferguson at Cherry Brook Farms outside of Philly. And that's the only name that we can find. So we called Wayne Ferguson up. We cold called him, literally.
Wow.
And I introduced myself on the phone and told him who I was and where I was from and that I wanted to come down and talk to him. You know, at the time, Laura, NBC had gotten out of the NFL weekend afternoon programming. So we no longer had Sunday afternoon, or in this case, Thanksgiving Day football on our air.
Mm-hmm.
And NBC, we lost it in 1998, and we had been running It's a Wonderful Life, the Jimmy Stewart movie, following the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade.
Right.
So I go down with Kevin Monahan, who's one of my coworkers, and we go meet with Wayne and tell him what we want to do, that we want to buy one of the days of his dog show. We had done some research, found out that the Kennel Club of Philadelphia was a bench show, so they were taking place over 4 days. So we talked to him about taking over one of the days of his show, taping it and putting it on NBC. And he said, that sounds great to us. The show was struggling a little bit financially, and so we were happy to help them out. And then we came back and called Michael Crawford at Purina, who I used to know from many years in the business. And Purina was not able to get involved in the large broadcast shows or large national shows because Pedigree had the sponsorship at Westminster, which is at Madison Square Garden.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to Michael, if you could ever do a dog show on television, would you be interested? And he said, absolutely. I said, okay, sit tight. I'll get back to you. Then went into my boss and said, we have this idea to do a dog show, and we have a sponsor and we have a show. And he threw us out of the office and said that NBC Sports, people are going to write that NBC Sports was going to the dogs,
right,
as a tongue-in-cheek thing. And I said, well, the idea was that it would be more an NBC Entertainment opportunity. And he says, well, where do you want to run it? And I said, well, I think the perfect place to run it would be on Thanksgiving Day following the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. So he had me talk to Jeff Zucker, who was running NBC Entertainment at the time, and you know, the whole NBC operation. And I pitched it to Jeff, and Jeff said, well, we're not doing anything with It's a Wonderful Life. Let's give it a shot. So we did. And that first year, our research folks estimated that it would do about the same number as It's a Wonderful Life, maybe a tenth better.
Mm.
And then, lo and behold, instead of it doing a 1.5 rating, it did a 7 rating.
Nice.
And the rest is history. And it's been a great performer for us, and we've been able to invest back in the Kennel Club of Philadelphia. We've invested back in Purebred Dog World, and Purina's very happy. We've helped with their canine health programs and all their different initiatives on growing awareness on how to better take care of your pets. And so it's been good for everybody.
And it's definitely the definition of a win-win, for sure, John. And I just heard also from David Fry that they now have the National Dog Show Month in Philadelphia, which I think is amazing.
Well, Philadelphia is such a great city, and as a Giant fan, it really pains me to have to say that, but no, It's a great town. It's a great environment. The people there have really embraced the event, and we love going down there every year. We're going down there in a few weeks, and people are already getting prepared and working hard at it.
And then recently they had the charity dog walk in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And so you're able to take this support for purebred dog and make it into support for all dogs. And
that's what our hope is.
Charities around the city. I think that is outstanding.
As David Fry says, we have hundreds of different breeds at the National Dog Show, but everybody's favorite dog is their dog.
Yes. Absolutely.
And that's the most important thing.
Absolutely. And, you know, we heard from Wayne Ferguson last week and talked to him a little bit, some of this story as well. And I think one of the things I'd really like to have you speak to, because our listeners, many of them belong to kennel clubs, many of them participate in putting on dog shows. And so I think an interesting component of this that perhaps you could help us with is talk to people about ways in which they might develop, certainly not the National Dog Show, but other partnerships, building that kind of a team. I think there's a lot of lessons to be learned here for our people.
Well, I think we went down and the job that we had to do was to make ourselves smarter about this world because we were not familiar with it. We had not really been in that world. So we went and surrounded ourselves with people who really understand the business. David Fry was very helpful with that and introduced us to the right people so that we would, A, do a good show, but really figured out the right ways for us to give back to the dog world as we did this. And I think that's what I would recommend to people who are looking to get into it. Find people, go to shows, get yourself familiar with how they work. I mean, there are shows all over the country. There are small shows with limited breeds, but there are big shows as well. And be willing to volunteer and put yourself out there and learn more about it. AKC obviously does a great job in helping to promote that stuff. And people can find ways to get involved. It's a great hobby. It's a great thing to get kids involved with at an early age as well. Teaches great responsibility.
Absolutely. I've been involved in dogs since I was in grade school, and they make those silly Facebook memes about get your kids into dogs and they'll never have time for drugs. And it's true.
Right.
Okay. And so as a, say, a member of a kennel club who might want to work with maybe a local NBC affiliate, how do you approach them? Say, hey, I want you to come, you know, shoot a news segment at our dog show. What's a great way for those folks to connect?
You reach out to the local NBC affiliate. Every NBC affiliate has a public affairs liaison, someone who's a community relations person. And certainly if you can tie in with something in advance of this year's National Dog Show or this spring's dog show out of Beverly Hills, we've added a second show. I think all of those affiliates are always looking for those kind of compelling stories. And whether it involves purebred dogs, whether it involves rescue dogs or therapy dogs, there's all kinds of wonderful stories out there.
I like that, particularly tying into the National Dog Show and the Beverly Hills shows, because we all have dog shows coming up. I'm the show chair for my dog show. It's the first weekend in November, and I can go to the NBC affiliate and say, hey, you know, the National Dog Show is on your station, but here's our dog show right here in town.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
Perfect. I love that. Okay. And so going forward, you have the National Dog Show. You have the Beverly Hills Dog Show. What are your plans going forward? Are you looking to add or where are you?
Not right now. We're not.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the National Dog Show. We've also got the Incredible Dog Challenge, which
right.
shows off some of the athletic skills that a lot of these dogs have. And the Beverly Hills Dog Show is really kind of in its infancy as a television property, but it's another one of these shows that's been around for 70 years.
Mm-hmm.
And our goal is to make it a little bit of a different type of dog show than your traditional dog show. And we're very excited about that. We've had good response to it in the first year. And I think we're going to continue to try to grow and build that as well. And I think that, you know, we don't want to overdo it. We have one Thanksgiving show and then we have another show 6 months later. And we think that's the perfect amount. Westminster is still on television. And then there's obviously the AKC show and there's Animal Planet has some shows. So there's still several dog shows that get a lot of exposure. So
it sounds
we're
like
careful not to
overdo.
Right.
Exactly. Excellent. Okay. Well, thank you so very much, John. I know, as I said, I know you've got a lot of time in on this. And
well, Laura, I appreciate it. And I appreciate your listeners who will be tuning in on Thanksgiving Day.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And best of luck to you guys.
Okay. Thanks very much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, crew. So it's time for Allison Foley's Tip of the Week. To give you the leading edge in showing your dog, Allison today is going to talk to us about scissoring. So, rule number one, Allison,
Oh, so there's so many rules when it comes to scissoring, Laura. So
okay, let's start with the first one.
Okay, so we're going to start from the beginning. So the first thing is I watch people and how they pick up their scissors.
Yes.
Oh. And you really, really need that scissor to be as steady and as firm in your hand as possible. So I can remember I was very young. I had a miniature poodle. I had scissored it for probably 2 years. And then I went to work for a handler and I picked up a pair of scissors and she looked at me like I had 4 heads.
Yes.
And I had picked up the scissors and I had put my middle finger and my index finger and my thumb in the scissors. And that's how I held on to them. So she explained to me how, you know, look at how the scissor wobbles and moves. That's not going to give you a smooth scissor. You don't have control over your scissor. It's going to fatigue your hand so much more. And I had no idea what she was talking about. So then she took the scissors from me and she put them so that they were cradled with my ring finger in the scissor holder, my baby finger, you know, on the little tail on the scissors, and then my middle finger and my index finger were basically on the shank of the shear. And lo and behold, it did take a little bit getting used to, but the hand fatigue went down and the scissors were just so much smoother. They didn't move around as much. And especially as, you know, if you're using a longer the shear, the more control and the more stability you need to have in your hand. So that's the first thing. You see so many people and I just don't even understand.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, I didn't come from scissoring breeds. And when I first learned scissoring was actually at a pet grooming shop. And I was flabbergasted when they told me this.
Right, exactly.
It blew my mind. But what I was taught is that all of the work of moving the scissor, every single bit of it is in your thumb. And all the rest of it is to hold the scissor still.
That's right. So if you are just basically using your fingers to cradle the scissors, and then your thumb is the part that operates them.
Yep, that was magical thinking to me.
And actually, when the first time I put up my poodle prep video, so I have a course on poodle preparation, and I thought I had everything in there. I had, you know, how to bath it and dry it and the steps in drying and brushing and combing. And then I had people taking the course and they were raving about it. And then one person said, can you show us how to hold the scissors? And I'm like, yes. Like, how did I not put it so clearly? There's a video on how to hold your scissors properly in there now. But of course, it's just something that you think that that's a natural thing. And then I remember I had no idea that that was a thing, that your hand cradled those scissors.
Right. That was, as I say, magical thinking. And I haven't gotten to poodles and Bichons, but water dogs and water spaniels and all of that. I'm like, yep, now I get it.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. All right. Well, there you go, guys. Pure Dog Talk 25 in your checkout code at Allison's Leading Edge Show Dog Academy. And you too can have a video of how to hold your scissors properly. Thank you, Allison.
Okay. Thank you, Laura. Have a good day.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. This will help share the love with others out there in the sport. This has been Pure Dog Talk with your host, Laura Reeves. We hope you can join us next time as we continue on the journey to success with your purebred dog.